Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Live from the Ico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Now, I want to be honest. Not the kind of guy who brags or draws attention to himself. But a couple of weeks ago, I came on this show and I said, I got a wild and crazy theory for you. I said, just follow me along on this. The day after, I believe it was, Anthony Davis was officially traded from the Pelicans to the Lakers. And all the talk suddenly became, wait a minute, the Lakers, the way this deal is structured, do not have the money to be able to create a max contract offer for an additional player. They have got at least $4 million that they need Anthony Davis to decide not to accept. And they don't anticipate that he's going to turn down that $4 million kicker that he's entitled to. And I said at that point in time, I said, guys, trust me, this is going to be worked out. Rich Paul, who represents LeBron James and Anthony Davis, is going to sit down with both of those guys if he hasn't already. And ultimately, the solution they come to is going to be that Anthony Davis stars alongside LeBron James in Space Jam 2. I might even be exaggerating and saying that I said this after the Anthony Davis trade. I can't even remember. It might have been before the Anthony Davis trade officially happened, but when we thought that it was likely to end up happening. And I said, as a result of this, Anthony Davis is going to decline his option there for $4 million, and he will make the money up in Space Jam 2, and the Lakers will be able to go out and sign another max free agent. And we opened up the phone lines, and everybody talked about whether this was a genius idea or it was insanity. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that this show, half of you said genius, half of you said insanity. Given that, since that opinion came out, we have since had Anthony Davis now turn down his $4 million extension. And remember, it hadn't even been reported that Anthony Davis was going to be starring in Space Jam 2 yet. And then word comes out that he is. And now it looks like my philosophy here was complete genius. We'll see what the Lakers end up doing with the $32 million that they created. But I think it's fair to say that LeBron James is using the Space Jam 2 business model as an opportunity to circumvent the existing salary cap and potentially allow people to star in that movie, make extra money, and free up the ability for the Lakers to, as a result, be better at basketball than they would be if Space Jam 2 weren't being made. Effectively, Space Jam 2 is LeBron James' own laundromat. He's like Walter White back in Breaking Bad. He's got all sorts of money coming in, and then when it comes back out of that movie, it suddenly looks clean when it arrives in the bank accounts of all of these other players that will be starring in that movie alongside of him. And Danny G tweeted out this picture. Do you know who was there giving LeBron James a hug on crutches? Klay Thompson, who honestly, if you told me the Lakers were going to spend $32 million on anybody with this new max salary cap room, clearly Kawhi Leonard is the number one player that you go after. The Lakers will meet with Kawhi. Maybe, possibly, there's a small chance that Kawhi goes to the Lakers. If they are going to give max contract dollars to anyone else other than Kawhi, who is the number one choice. I think the second best option is Klay Thompson. And I've been talking about how good of a team I thought LeBron alongside of Klay Thompson could be. I love the idea of what Klay Thompson could do with Anthony Davis and with LeBron James. Kawhi's number one, and I think the clear number two is Klay Thompson. But I don't think that there's anybody else out there on the marketplace who really is worth a max deal. I don't think D'Angelo Russell is. I don't think that Jimmy Butler is. I don't think that Kyrie Irving is. And I don't think that Kemba Walker is for the Lakers. That's what I mean, for the Lakers. Other teams may decide those guys are worth max deals. I think the only two worth $32 million a year to the Lakers are Kawhi and Klay Thompson. To me personally, if I were deciding how to spend that $32 million, I would try to get a bunch of free agents who are great shooters and bring them in to pair around the existing Laker team of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Kyle Kuzma. I'd go out and I'd maybe try to get Danny Green, J.J. Redick, Seth Curry, all of these guys that are proven three-point shooters. I would go and try to use my $32 million on them, spread it across all of them, give them each $7 or $8 million, and try to get multiple big-time shooters as opposed to one player, unless, again, I had the chance to get Kawhi and Klay. But I want to go ahead and give you a roadmap, by the way, of where we're headed. My guy Lance Taylor is going to join us next in hour two. I think we're going to talk with Dan Wetzel over in France as the U.S. women get ready for their initial round of eight game against France in Paris. And then in hour three, we'll talk with my guy Chad Withrow. But first, I want to bring in everybody, and I want to see if there are opinions that have changed, if anybody wants to acknowledge how much of a genius idea my floated idea of the $4 million coming from off the books and through Space Jam 2 was. Danny G, when you saw this news come down, and Adrian Wojnarowski was the reporter who repeated who got this out there, was your one of your first thoughts, I can't believe Klay was right about Space Jam 2?
Well, I gave you props on Twitter, and it was hilarious to be online yesterday afternoon because the response from our audience,
the minute that news came down,
it was awesome because just about every tweet to me yesterday was, oh my God, Klay is going to be a nightmare tomorrow. He's going to be doing a nonstop victory lap. So yeah, look, I was one of the ones who said you were borderline genius because you made me stop and think about it. And by the way, to clear it up, you did theorize this one time before the trade.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, think about the things that have happened. When I initially put this idea out, the Lakers hadn't yet gotten Anthony Davis traded for.
Right, the rumors were swirling that they were close to getting the deal done with Griffin
But the reports were not out that he was going to be in the movie at all. And there wasn't the discussion about the $4 million and what was going to happen there at all. So this was something that I put out then. I couldn't remember whether it was before the trade or not.
It did happen one time before the trade, but your main show about this, and I labeled the podcast Space Clam 2 because we were talking about clams. We were talking about the money being funneled, you know, to Anthony Davis and any other hashtag future Laker. That show, by the way, if you want to listen to that podcast, it was our June 19th show. Anthony Davis being booked for the movie happened that following day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, two different shows. You did call this. Now, we still don't know what's going on with exactly every dollar. But one thing I did tell you, even though I agreed with you at the time, I said it was going to create a stir and a witch hunt. And sure enough, one of our former coworkers at NBC last night tweeted out, the NBA now needs to take a real look at the AD role in Space Jam 2 and just how much Clutch and LeBron are paying him. They have very strict rules about trying to circumvent the salary cap.
Oh, so. I'm sure that people will complain, but I as I said when I initially floated this out, I don't understand when you look at Hollywood budgets for movies and what people are paid to star in movies. To me, a $4 million salary for Anthony Davis does not look like the beyond the bounds of ridiculousness, because I assume this movie probably has a $50 or $60 million budget, and so what? you know, if you end up losing some money, then again, it's just a big investment for the Lakers. I think it's a smart move by LeBron. Now, Dub, were you on the team this is genius or team this is insanity side?
I was on team this is genius.
Yeah, all right.
And I mean, when you look at it, I mean, they have an opportunity to pretty easily give Anthony Davis that $4 million in other ways, and they're, you know, pretty clearly doing that. So by me, I mean, this is a great move by the Lakers, and it obviously opens up all that room to sign and go after someone else.
What about you, Eddie? Would you like to apologize to me and now acknowledge, man, this was genius, I was a fool for not believing in you?
Nah, not really.
But when you saw this news, what was your first thought?
Well, like everyone else, Clay was going to pat himself on the back.
You were
for
nervous about
hours.
The start of this show. You
not
were like,
nervous.
This is...
I will say this, though. They say that imitation is the highest form of flattery. I'm not sure if this is imitation or plagiarism, but I did hear friend of the show Frank Isola on another network basically talking about this exact same thing if Anthony Davis was getting some Space Jam money to make up for this. So
I think what will happen now is it will turn into common discourse, right? This is the way that a lot of theories like this work. Until it becomes believable, everybody's like, man, that sounds crazy. And then once it becomes believable, it becomes so commonplace that the idea that it was ever considered to be a radical idea vanishes, right? I've seen it happen so many times before, you know, with the way that an idea gets embraced and as it kind of enters the mainstream. Poor Bernie Sanders. I was thinking about that last night, actually, as I was watching the Democratic debate. Poor Bernie Sanders. For, you know, like much of his career, people are like, this guy is a crazy kook. He's a loon. Nobody's ever going to want to be a socialist in this country. And then Bernie had a lot of success in the 2016 campaign. And by 2020, like so many people have grabbed his ideas that he doesn't even seem like a loon anymore. You know, he used to seem like the crazy uncle that you would have over for Thanksgiving, just sitting there like yelling at you, you know, the old man. And he's still got that same kind of, you know, like political drive in the way that you experience him. He's lean forward, skinny old man, just railing about every injustice and indignity. But now so much of his ideas have been co-opted by other people. And I mean, and this is, you know, kind of the essence of politics is ideas, right? Ultimately, all politicians have to sell is their ideas. And at some point, if you become successful enough as a politician, then whatever idea you had becomes substantially adopted by the public and it isn't crazy anymore. And I kind of thought about that as I was watching the debate, thinking about the Space Jam 2 money funneling move. Roberto, would you like to apologize for saying that I was insane?
Yes, I would. I'd like to apologize.
Roberto's not there. What do you think? Hold on. Isn't this convenient that Roberto, who said I was insane for my Space Jam 2 theory, when it's actually confirmed, he doesn't come into work? I mean, this is pretty convenient for Roberto, isn't it?
It's funny you say that because we have a Laker chat group, me and a few others who work here who are Laker fans. And yesterday,
that sounds exciting.
It was awesome yesterday. We were celebrating in there. And we were joking around saying, man, Clay is going to be taking a victory lap. You can't wait to hear that. And Roberto's reply in the chat was, not me. I'm not going to hear it because he obviously was not going to be here on the show today. So
he doesn't bother to tell me that he's going to be out at all.
I think it's awfully
convenient that this news breaks. He knows it's going to be our lead part for the story. And then, boom, he's not available anywhere.
Well, really quick, too, there is one other host here at FSR we got to give some love to. Because back on the 19th when you did that show, remember a caller came in and dropped the bomb saying, hey, I heard this on FSR from a host yesterday. And then he just took off real quick. He couldn't tell us which host it was.
Yeah.
It turns out it was Gottlieb filling in for Cowherd. So Gottlieb is the other host on our network who came up with the same kind of theory.
And that's just two great minds. I didn't hear Gottlieb on that day. But let me tell you this. Gottlieb and I are sitting in for Dan Patrick on July 4th in L.A. So
that way you could copy each other as you sit next to each other.
Yeah, that's right. It'll just be a mutual admiration society. But two of us are going to be in for – I think Dan Patrick's out the 4th and the 5th. And on the 4th, Gottlieb and I are going to be hanging out. And then I think I'm doing Dan Patrick again the next day because I'll be in L.A., with Jason McIntyre. So for people out there who listen to Fox Sports Radio all day, I'll be on a little bit later. I'm in LA all next week, so it'll be a little bit of a jumble with that schedule. But yeah, I'm excited about that. It should be a lot of fun. In the meantime, all right, we're going to get Lance Taylor on. We'll see what he thinks the Lakers should do. We'll also play you some audio at some point here soon from the U.S. women who have weighed in response to the big flare-up between Megan Rapinoe and Donald Trump. Jill Ellis, the coach, as well as Megan Rapinoe have both issued statements as we get ready for the round of eight game. The quarterfinal game is, I believe, at 3:00 Eastern today, live from Paris, is the match that many people believe will decide who wins the Women's World Cup. And again, it's at 3 Eastern, live from Paris today. I've been telling you about M-Drive, the supplement I take every day for more energy and strength. But you know, M-Drive has a formula to help you lose pounds. It's summer. Time to lean up, look good, lose some body fat. M-Drive Boost and Burn has clinically tested ingredients to boost healthy testosterone levels and help you burn fat. Aging can make it tough to keep weight off. This supplement can help you fight back. It's M-Drive Boost and Burn. Boost healthy testosterone, burn fat. Get M-Drive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shoppe, and many other retailers. Or go to mdriveformen.com and type in my code CLAY, C-L-A-Y, to receive 20% off your first M-Drive purchase. So if you want more energy, strength, or just want to burn some unwanted fat, try M-Drive Boost and Burn. Boost healthy testosterone, burn fat. Visit mdriveformen.com today and type in my code CLAY, C-L-A-Y, at checkout to receive 20% off your first M-Drive purchase. Don't let your age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rolling in hour number two here, Outkick, live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Now, right now, we have got, a lot of people weighing in on the poll question. And it's triggered some people, and that's always a great sign. But the poll question is pretty straightforward. The U.S. women's soccer team used to be the most beloved team in the country. But since they got to France, they've had the 13-goal celebration controversy, the Trump White House mess with Megan Rapinoe's comments, and they obviously are suing to try to get more money because they're claiming that they are underpaid. So, simple question. Are you rooting for them to win the World Cup? Are you rooting for the U.S. women to win the World Cup? And this is, I didn't know what the results would be, but at least for my audience, people always say, I always point out, I'm not saying that this audience in this poll reflects perfectly what the American population would say, which is why I'm going to go to the phones and we'll see what people say here. But with nearly 4,000 votes in, 57% of people are saying they are rooting for the U.S. women to win the World Cup. 43% of people are saying they are not. This is, I think, at least partly a sign of what can happen if you stray outside of just playing your sport. The U.S. women used to be one of the most beloved teams in all of sports. I think the amount of interest and joy that American sports fans feel for their run in soccer is less now than it would be if they had said, say, beaten Thailand 5-0, and if they had come out and no one had said anything about a potential White House visit, or if somebody, I think if they just said nothing at all, I'd be curious to know what those numbers would reflect. But does these results surprise you, Danny G, that the U.S. women, since they've gotten to France, have lost more fans than they've gained?
Yes and no, because while we were at break, I heard the promo playing from Jason Smith, where he was pointing out that this 8x8 reporter is a little bit shiesty because he recorded this Rapinoe interview dropping the F-bomb in January. So it really feels like this guy's trying to make a name for himself and timed it out to where he could try to blow things up.
I don't think there's any doubt, but she should have been smart enough to know that.
I'm not disagreeing
with that question.
I agree with you on that, but it also seems like questionable internet journalism to me, and to get everybody against her in the U.S.
Well, I think the journalist who did this is a big, and I think I'm not an expert in the, somebody look up exactly what the organization was that posted that video. But I think that video is a very much of a left-wing sports organization. In other words, it's possible that they held this because Megan Rapinoe wanted to get the attention for the answer now. I don't know the answer, but as the captain of the team, she should be smarter than to answer the way she did. Now, to her credit, she said, I wished I hadn't said the expletive. And I think the expletive does. Some people say, like, oh, you know, somebody tweeted yesterday, like, oh, you know, this is unbelievable that you would criticize her for using the expletive. I'm just saying, if she had just said, I'm not going to go to the White House, I think there would have been less anger than I'm not effing going to go to the White House. Because, first of all, she's a captain of the U.S. women's soccer team. And second, using the F-bomb there makes it seem like more of a personal insult than it would have been if she had just said, I don't think I'm going to go to the White House. Moreover, my position from a pure soccer perspective is you shouldn't be answering a question like this anyway before you actually win the World Cup. It's like I don't remember very often this happening in the world of the NFL or the NBA or anything like that, where you have a team that is saying what they're going to do before they actually win the championship. Maybe the Golden State Warriors have had a controversy like this. I can't remember an NFL team being like, hey, if we win the Super Bowl, we're not going to go to the White House, or Major League Baseball team or anything like that, usually because you want to win the championship before you worry about what happens after it. Does this reaction surprise you, Dub?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, I wasn't expecting a 57, 43 clip. I thought it would maybe be closer to 70-30, but I mean, like you said, when she comes out and says these kind of things, it's going to, you know, push people the wrong way, some people, and, you know, that's just the way it is.
I think it's a combination of three different things. I think the Rapinoe comments are by far the most impactful, but I think that a lot of people, when the U.S. women scored 13 goals, you don't root for Goliath. And at some point in like 1999 or even in 2015, there was uncertainty about whether we were the best in the world. And that's why I think the comparison with the Dream Team makes sense. The 99 U.S. women who won the World Cup were a lot like the 1992 U.S. Dream Team, where I don't think there's hardly a single person who was alive that is listening to us right now that was rooting against the U.S. dominating in 1992. But at some point in time, if you dominate for long enough, it's hard to still have the same drive and sort of appeal. And then also, if you start to say things like the U.S. women said, oh, it's sexist that you criticized us for the way that that we celebrated. Well, I don't think that's true. I think that comes with the territory. If a men's football team, United States, real football, if a men's football team scores a touchdown to go up 50-0, and when they score to go up 50-0, they did a synchronized dance, there would be a lot of people out there who would say, you know what, that wasn't appropriate. And in fact, in men's sports, if you try to show up the other team, like, you know, let's say you dunk at the buzzer when your team's already up 15 or 20, sometimes, you know, you have confrontations where the men's guys say, yeah, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to let you showboat on, you know, we're losing, we get it. That happens all the time in the NFL, right? In football in general. If you score and you're up, or flip side, if you're getting your ass kicked and you score and you do a celebration, you know, that's where the other team's like, hey, dude, scoreboard, right? It's 50-0. You just scored to make it 50-7. This is commonplace in men's sports. So saying, oh, it's sexist that we're getting criticized while you're also suing over how much money you're getting paid, and then also you are then coming out and saying, hey, we're not going to go to the White House. I think there are different little aspects here that all build up. And maybe, frankly, there's also some element of Hope Solo out here, because even though Hope Solo isn't on this team, I think a lot of people thought that she was treated differently with her domestic violence charges and her off-the-field-related arrest than a male athlete would have been. So the women have gone from what otherwise was a lovable team and a lovable bunch to a situation where I think they have provoked people who root against them, which is relatively hard to do because most people tend to be pretty pro-America. What about you, Eddie? Does this surprise you?
It really doesn't. And I've been one of those people who, in the past, I've gone out of my way to watch the Women's World Cup. But I haven't really at all this time around. And as we talked about yesterday, I just keep finding that more and more reasons to not root for them. And it's Megan Rapinoe is a big reason why. But then it was the celebration. Then it was the reaction to the celebration. And I just... I'm not surprised by it. I'm really not.
And you're not a Trump guy. You said earlier,
I'm not
right?
at all.
So
not
it's
at all
not
all
as if
Trump
you're
guy.
Like, oh, she said something bad about Donald Trump. No. I hate her. I think there's some reaction there. There's, you know, whatever it is, 35-40% of the American public that is really upset when the president gets attacked, and
right.
so they're going to be upset regardless. But I think there's a lot of people in the middle part of the country that don't really feel that strongly about Trump, and just say like. You know what? Before you're actually even won the World Cup to be saying, I'm not effing going to the White House, I think it's hard to be like, oh, this is a great role model. I love the U.S. women's team. And I would say that to you, it's just like, this is a reason why they're not likable.
I wonder if, you know, the era we're in with, you know, kind of the, you know, female girl power, all that kind of stuff, if maybe they're kind of feeling that a little bit and they like being a little bit chesty and, you know, maybe they think that, you know, the guys do this kind of thing all the time. Why shouldn't we do it? And maybe as fans, maybe we're not ready for that. I don't know.
I think there could also be some blowback over the whole girl power thing, too. Like, I was walking through the store the other day. I think I was in Target or something. And I was, you know, shopping for superhero figures with my four-year-old. And I don't ever buy clothes, right, other than Costco, where I might buy my boys. Like, I've got an 11, 8, and a 4-year-old. I might buy them, like, a Spider-Man sweatshirt or something like that at Costco. I'm not in charge of clothing our kids, right? But I happened to be walking by, and there was, like, this entire section, and there were, like, 20 different shirts all about, like, girls are awesome, girl power, you know, girls rule, all this stuff, whatever. Evidently, it sells well. I don't have daughters. But I do think there are people, like, if you, like, there's no equivalent to that for, like, if you had 20 t-shirts that they were selling at Target where it's like, boys rule, girls drool, you know, boy power, you know, whatever it is, whatever these phrases are, you know, that were the equivalent for boys, people would be like, oh, that's unacceptable. Oh, look, you're just further embracing the patriarchy. And I don't have any desire to go out and buy a boy power t-shirt for my boys, but I also wouldn't really have any desire to go buy a girl power t-shirt for my girls because I don't really spend that much time thinking about, oh, this person gets treated differently because of their sex or whatever else. And I wonder if there is in some way a blowback against the idea of the girl power dynamic. In 1999, that might have been, you know, more appealing than it is in 2019. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this thing is still wildly popular. But I don't think most people my age, and again, there's a difference for, say, my mom, who's in her 70s versus me, but do most 40-year-old guys feel like they'll never see a woman elected president? I don't, or even 40-year-old women, right? I mean, I feel like most people, and certainly if you're in your 20s or you're in your 30s, you know, that was the big argument when Hillary Clinton were going to shatter the glass ceiling. But I feel like it wasn't as if people who were younger than Hillary Clinton really felt like there was never going to be a woman president. And so it's not that big of a deal whether Hillary wins, because if Hillary doesn't win, well, still at some point in the next 10 or 15 or 16 or 20 years, a woman's going to win. And so I don't feel like, oh, we have to vote for Hillary just because we're a woman. So I wonder if there's some element of that blowback as well. And this is just a, you know, kind of thinking out loud, because I did notice it in, I think it was Target. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Would there, if there were a section and there were 20 different shirts that were being sold that were all about boy power, I think about this as the father of boys. Women are graduating from high school and going to college and getting graduate degrees at infinitely higher rates than boys are, right? They make better grades. They have more success in the classroom. This is not a crazy, wild idea that I have. These are facts that are backed up by data. women are going to, I think it's like 60% of all college degrees now are gained by women. Graduate degrees are rapidly becoming more women. I mean, I went to law school at Vanderbilt, top law school in the country, met my wife there, by the way, but there were more women in my law school class than there were men. There are more women going to law school now than there are men. I think it's very close or getting closer in the world of medical school. So the era that I have grown up in, I haven't gone to, you know, graduate school and college. There are more women in college with me than there were men. So I haven't really in my life been like, oh, I think that a woman can't do something that a man can. And in fact, the numbers reflect that women are dominating in many fields. And so I wonder for younger people whether the whole idea of girl power is played out in some way. And look, the reality is girl power is a slogan that corporations have bought into because they can sell more shirts, right? If you put girl power on a t-shirt, it sells better than if you put boy power on a t-shirt, right? And so to a large extent, this is just corporatization of ideas that have become popular. But I do wonder whether that factors in at all. Is that a crazy, like, have anybody else noticed that? Like, if you are a father of boys and you're walking through Target, there is zero boy power shirts, right? That idea, and I'm just using that as a rough phrase, right? There's all these different derivations. And if you bought one and they started to sell it, I feel like it would immediately get attacked as sexist. Oh, well, this is not what we need. We don't need boys walking around in t-shirts that talk about how boys have power, right? But if you say the same thing about girls, it's like, oh, well, yeah, 100% those shirts should exist. And so I wonder to what extent there could be a blowback on the U.S. women over things like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is a crazy idea. Anybody else notice that or think about that? Roberto has kids. Nobody else has kids on the show right now. But does anybody else notice that?
I've never seen a boy power shirt. In fact, right. I just Googled it and a Kyle Busch youth power car t-shirt popped up.
Right, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Like, if you see little girls, there is, you go to a birthday party and there's 25 kids, there's a high probability that there is going to be a girl there wearing like a girl's rule, girls are awesome, girl power shirt. And I think that the U.S. women's soccer team has played into that from a branding perspective in a big way, right? Like, oh, we can be every bit as good as men. And look, I don't have any problem with that from a sales perspective, right? Or even a life perspective. But if you came out with a boy power t-shirt and like you never see a little boy running around in a boy power t-shirt, and the idea that you would, you just said you Googled it. I hadn't ever Googled it, but they don't exist, right?
There is one on here, but I think it's kind of sarcasm.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because your point is taken. I mean, it's left over from the 90s.
Right.
This I mean, and movement, I think it's a movement in the 90s that you're right. As an adult male, I don't even think about it. If anything, I think of women running the world, to be honest with you. Before this job here, my last three bosses were women. So even in the workplace, I know it's not perfect, but from what I saw in the mid-90s when I went into the workforce and then into the early 2000s, once I think things got a little more equal, I answered to women at my last three jobs before I came to this one.
I'll give you an example. Like, I mean, I think it's different generationally. I think if you're listening to us right now and you're a man and you're 60 or you're 80 years old, obviously their generations were different. But when I would go in for interviews, for instance, at law firms, I would go in for these interviews and the people who were interviewing me tended to be old and male, right? Just by and large. And that was what kind of the legal community was. It was an old white community. And they'd be, and there was a big push for them to hire more women. And I remember thinking, okay, that's fine, whatever. You know, like I didn't think I wanted to be in a law firm for the rest of my life anyway. But I found it intriguing that their hiring processes were still treating women as if women lawyers were rare, when in my law school class, there were more women than there are men. And that's commonplace now. If you go into any law school in America, odds are there are going to be more women enrolled there than there are men. And certainly law firms have got a lot, you know, every year almost, if they bring in an associate class of young lawyers, it's roughly even between boys and girls, right? Like I see in my experience, and certainly if you go into higher education, women aren't just winning higher education battles. They are dominating. Again, I think 60% of all advanced degrees that are being attained right now are being attained by women. And so it's actually men and boys in particular in school that are falling behind. Like, you go out and look at what the numbers reflect. And so I don't know that we need like the rocket fuel of girl power. It seems like women are doing pretty fine in the country, to me, if you are 40 or younger. Now, if you're a 60-year-old woman, I understand things are different in your era, but I'm talking about people from basically who were born in 1980 going forward. Like you just said, you're around my age. I mean, I don't think most men think, oh my God, the workplace is so, you know, male-dominated now. I don't think that's the case at all. So I wonder if that factors in some way in our analysis here. But I'm going to take your calls, okay? I know I told you that I would. I think we got loaded lines. If you'll hang with me, 877-996-6369, discussing this as the U.S. women get set to play what will be potentially their toughest challenge so far in the World Cup and maybe their toughest challenge on the way to winning the World Cup. Are you rooting for them or not? Do you find them less likable now than maybe you did back in 1999 or even more recently in 2015? We will talk about it. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Live from the Geico OutKick Studios, final hour of the week here where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. This show, however, is available in all areas. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've got over 300-plus affiliates, all 50 states. We got Sirius Channel 218, XM Channel 202. Got the podcast. Millions of you are downloading that. Want to encourage you to go listen to the newest long-form conversation I'm doing on the podcast exclusive that is actually out with Paul Feinbaum this week. I think you guys will love that. He's an ESPN and SEC network commentator, also a radio show host. His show's on from 2 to 6 every day in the afternoon. We are off and running with what I hope has been an enjoyable show so far. But make sure you download the podcast. You won't miss any of it. I started off the show dancing around in glee because my Anthony Davis is going to make his $4 million back from starring in the new Space Jam 2 movie is going to happen. The Lakers have now cleared $32 million. We'll get into this probably at the end of the show. But to me, the only players worth $32 million that are out there right now are Kawhi Leonard, who it seems like the Lakers have elbowed their way into for a meeting at least, and potentially Klay Thompson. It sounds like, at least according to Eddie Garcia's update, that the sources out there are saying as long as Klay Thompson gets the max contract deal. Eddie, is that what you read? I hadn't even read that article. That as long as basically the Warriors give him his money, he's going to sign with Golden State?
Yeah, it was a tweet from Brad Turner of the LA Times saying that if the Warriors don't offer Klay Thompson the max $190 million deal, that he will listen to the Lakers.
But the report has been that the Warriors are going to offer him the max, right?
I believe so, yes. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, so if that is in fact accurate report from the LA Times, then Klay Thompson wouldn't really be in play at all as a free agent as long as the Warriors take care of him. If you haven't been paying attention to all of the latest NBA free agent drama, first of all, free agency will officially begin at 6 Eastern on Sunday, and it appears most recently that Kemba Walker, not going to be back with the Charlotte Hornets, that he instead is going to go and play for the Boston Celtics, that Kyrie Irving seems likely to go to Brooklyn, that Brooklyn now is the minus 300 favorite, at least for the most recent numbers that I saw, to potentially sign Kevin Durant. Jimmy Butler, we don't really know where he is going. We don't really know where D'Angelo Russell is going, although there have been some reports that he could come back and join the Lakers. But most importantly, we don't know where Kawhi is going. It now seems like it may be the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Raptors who are all in play, with right now the odds makers in the offshore betting markets saying that Toronto is the most likely team to retain Kawhi Leonard's services. So that is your update on the NBA free agency drama. Today we have the U.S. women taking on the France team in Paris. We're about to talk with Dan Wetzel. We have a couple of people left weighing in on our poll question, which, by the way, has already been wild and contentious in the mentions. I can barely even keep up with it. But so far, 14,000 of you have voted in the first hour in our poll question, and I'm pretty stunned by the results. Will you be rooting for the U.S. women to win the World Cup? 59% say yes. 41% of you are saying no because of, I think, the controversy provoked to a large extent by Megan Rapinoe. But we're going to talk to Dan Wetzel over in Paris theoretically shortly. But first, let me go ahead and take a couple more of the calls. People have been waiting a long time to get in. Who's up, Dub?
We got Jesse in California.
Jesse, what you got for me?
Hey, Clay. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, you know, I feel for Megan to, you know, making all this noise about not showing up to the White House and whatnot, it really is counterproductive to most of her, you know, her goals or what she believes in. I mean, if she were to show up and just, you know, attend the event and be in the presence of Trump, you know how much media that would generate and possibly good publicity for the, you know, the game of women's soccer? And like you mentioned, you know, you got women in Iran playing with burkas and full body suits. And you know, it's a game that needs a lot of work, you know, worldwide. And just to blow off a trip to the White House with the most, you know, powerful position in the world at your side, I mean, it's just over disagreements and, you know, philosophical differences. It's just, she's making the wrong decision.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I agree with you. I think in some way, interacting with people you disagree with has become a point of pride in modern era social media. To me, if you go back and look historically at what people hoped to achieve, it was a seat at the table. You go back and study the civil rights movement. What Martin Luther King Jr. hoped to one day be able to do was sit down with a president like Lyndon Johnson to advance civil rights legislation. The protest was about getting a seat at the table, not about the protest. And it seems to me in our country today that very often what we have shifted to is the protest being the goal, not the tangible change. Think about that for a minute. If you study American history, most protest movements were about getting an opportunity to sit at the table. Here, what Megan Rapinoe is refusing to accept is a seat at the table. If you disagree with the president about something the president is doing, the most powerful thing you can get is the president's time to make a case for what you believe in. Here she is saying, I dislike the president so much and disrespect him so much that I don't even want to sit in his presence or meet with him. That to me is just an intense negative. And look, I defended Joe Biden over this when people said, when he came out and said, hey, I worked with segregationist senators. People said, oh my God, how could you do that? Well, politics is the art of the possible. And sometimes in order to make what seems impossible possible, you have to interact with people who are not good dudes. Like, that's why I would sit down with Iran. That's why I would sit down with North Korea. If you're Megan Rapinoe and you truly don't like Donald Trump, the way to make a difference is to interact with him, not to refuse to have any sort of contact with him at all. I think we got Dan Wetzel in Paris right now waiting for us. Dan Wetzel, you just wrote an interesting column. First of all, did you anticipate that something like this was going to blow up when you made your decision to go over to cover the U.S. women?
No, but as a member of the media, it was great.
Oh, it's great for you. There's no doubt. So I tweeted out this video. Was it 2 days? I can't even remember what day. I saw it, and obviously it was – do we know, like, the province of this video, like, why they decided to share it when they did, even though it was recorded back in January? Do you know anything about the entity that released this and why they decided to drop it when they did?
It's like a magazine, and it's months old. She was at a photo shoot.
Yep.
And I don't know if they thought it was interesting at the time, and then they just kind of pop it out. So, let me say this cautiously: it's somewhat unfair to Megan Rapinoe. She does not back down from what she said in any way. But she didn't say it during the World Cup.
Yeah, like, and which not, I need to make that clear, because when this initially came out,
she's focused on the games.
Yes.
She doesn't care about Trump right now. But she also hates Trump. So, you know, it's not like people are like, oh, it's unfair, Trump's bashing Megan. Well, Megan Rapinoe bashed Trump. Like, he's got the right to come back, too. It's all fair game. But she's not sitting there at press conferences here going, I want to talk about Donald Trump. She doesn't want to talk about Donald Trump. She wants to talk about beating France. So that, you know, it's a little squirrely. But
as the team captain, she also should have been smarter. And again, I don't know that this thing gets anywhere near as much attention if there's not the F-bomb in there. And she did, we played the audio, she did say, I regret the fact that I said.
Yes.
And I saw a caller pointed out, it's not even just the F-bomb. It's that she said, I'm not going to the effing White House, which I think some people, like, it strikes people wrong and you're not really sure why. And then you think about it and you're like, well, she's basically denigrating the White House in the way that she used the F-bomb there in some way. And I don't think that was her intent.
She went the last time. She went when Obama was there.
I think the intent was to denigrate Trump, but it didn't necessarily come across just as a Trump denigration.
Right. I find this whole thing, like, just tiresome, like, whatever, right? But this is where we are, okay? So it's fine. I find Megan Rapinoe pretty interesting. She's actually much more thoughtful and articulate than the usual. She actually has a lot to say. And whether you like, I'm just non-political, so I just don't care. But whether you like what she has to say or dislike, I don't care. But she has something to say. And I find her very interesting, where a lot of these are just, they're just dumb. There's nothing to say.
There's no substance. And a lot of athletes come out and say things, and then if you ask them a second question, there's no depth to their opinion, right? And I'll use Colin Kaepernick as an example, right? Like, Colin Kaepernick got asked about politics, and he's like, well, I think Hillary Clinton should be in prison, and Donald Trump's a racist. And all the people who were Hillary Clinton fans loved Colin Kaepernick, but the fact that he said she should be in prison didn't get any attention. But it also immediately, like, you know, okay, well, who are you actually supporting then, Kaepernick? You know, but, like, Megan Rapinoe actually, you're saying, has some substance behind what her opinions are.
Exactly. Like, I like Megan Rapinoe. I literally don't care about what – you could come – Megan Rapinoe could be – and there are people on the team that are – I don't care. I just don't care. But it'll have something. I hated I ripped Kaepernick. The thing I ripped Kaepernick most about was when he came out and said, I'm not voting.
Yeah.
Like, there's not one candidate. It's like, really? Like, okay, there's a lot of candidates to run for president. They may not win, but like there's the Labor Party. Like, that's not liberal enough for you?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You know, like, come on. Not voting is the stupidest thing you can
possibly.
Yeah,
and Kaepernick has never voted in his life, on top of not just voting in the most recent election.
I like Rapinoe because she has a lot to say. She just doesn't want to say it right now, and this thing popped out on her. But here's the thing. She is – I actually think her and Trump are very similar. They love this. Trump doesn't care that Megan Rapinoe is – he knows, hey, this is a winning topic for me. I'm just going to bash her at Megan Rapinoe. I'm going to say support the White House and the flag, whatever. And Megan Rapinoe's going, I'm just going to rip Trump, and this is great. Like, the two of them are completely, completely self-assured and confident in their own opinion. I mean, the one thing about Trump, like, you know, whatever he says, he truly believes, or at least he's not sitting there going, oh, boy, I really feel bad. Someone bashed me. No, he's going to fight. He loves it. So this fight is like two people who love a fight getting in a fight. It's like two hockey goons.
Yeah.
Like, okay, nobody loses. Let them fight. Good game. Right? And then we move on with the rest of the game. So it's a completely harmless debate, and it's not even really much of a debate at this point. I don't think everyone else on the team is just like, you know what, that's Megan. You know, whatever. They either support her or they're like, yeah, Megan gets in these fights. I actually think it's great for the team because all the focus is on this stupid, like, are we going to the White House or not? Who cares? It's not on, hey, why didn't the defense play better? What's up with the goalie? Why is Alex Morgan not hurt? Like, you know, what's happening? All the things that a team, like, Jill Ellis loved this. She didn't have to answer one hard question about the team on Thursday or Wednesday. She just sat there and was like, oh, yeah, Megan, you know, she gets into it, whatever.
So
it's a weird thing, right?
Couple questions for you. One, has this story – you're in Paris right now. Has this story gotten attention and not – again, I remember we talked to you earlier this week, and I know you're not a Parisian media expert, but has the U.S. women against France and also the Donald Trump angle played in at all? And do you know, like, for instance, if Macron, who is the president of France, will he be at this game in Paris? Like, how big of an event is this going to be in Paris tonight?
I don't know, but I'm not up on Macron's travel schedule either. This is going to be a big game. This will be by far the highest rated television game, women's soccer game ever, probably any women's sporting event ever in France. It's 9 o'clock on Friday night in Paris. If you've ever been to Paris, there's all these like outdoor cafes, and it's hot here right now, and it'll be cool then. I mean, it's going to be a big thing. You can't get into the stadium for under $500 right now. It is a massive game. It's a huge event, and all over Europe, all the European teams are in this thing. It's a big deal. The Trump part was enough that they were at, like, the French media was asking the French coach about,
oh wow,
like,
yeah,
right, and then she's like, I don't, you know, he's like, I don't know, whatever. But and then, would you go to the whatever, the French White House, whatever?
Do they do that? Yeah, do they do that in France?
I don't know.
Yeah,
these things are stupid. They're just photo ops. I heard you earlier, and I 100% agree with you, and I would love to see. I actually would love to see, like, a president say, like a team, or like if the women's soccer team said, "Hey, we'll come to the White House. We want to have a 20-minute meeting with you." That would be great.
Yeah,
but I've actually been at these, and what they do is they line the team up as a photo op, and then the president walks out and gives a speech and gets the picture and it leaks.
Yeah,
and so there's really no interest. I would love to see Megan Rapinoe. I think Megan Rapinoe and Donald Trump would both benefit. And our country would benefit from, like, a substantive discussion.
Yeah, don't you agree with me that, like, the idea that you – somehow talking to people that you disagree with in our modern society,
right,
is seen as a sign of weakness on either side, right? If you're a Republican and you sit down with a liberal Democrat, how dare you be willing to do that? If you're a if you're a liberal Democrat and you sit down with a conservative Republican, it's like, oh, you're legitimizing him in some way. Like, we have this cancel culture where the idea is you can only speak to your side. And I just think that's fundamentally wrong. I mean, and maybe this is just, a longing for a time before all of this, seems to me to be not just extreme partisanship, because people have always believed that their side is right, but an unwillingness to even talk to the other side, that doesn't seem healthy to me. And it seems to me what reflects in Rapinoe's commentary and the way that many athletes are responding to this invite to the White House is, as you say, a lot of times it's just a photo op, but why not ask for something more and see that as a positive? I think if it had Megan Rapinoe on the show, which I'd be happy to do, I think she'd be saying, like, oh, well, that's me giving credence to the president. I would say, why is that? Like, you don't have to agree with the president to meet with him. And if he's willing to talk to you, why wouldn't you take that opportunity?
Yeah, I think the Warriors tried something like that, and it didn't work. Like, they wanted to have, like, a day of, like, working with people. But I 100% agree with you. To me, again, like, I'm not – like, if you just take – Megan Rapinoe's a very smart, interesting person. And Donald Trump's obviously the president of the United States. So let me put it this way. Like, I think in America it's like, well, if I can't win him over – like, the Trump administration is not going to all of a sudden be agreeing with everything Megan Rapinoe. I don't even know what everything Megan Rapinoe wants. But
right,
if you move him 1%, okay, that's a win. And it's right, that's a win. And it's like, I actually think I always like talking to people who I'll be like, well, what do you mean by that? Why do you think that? And I may completely reject what they think later, but at least I heard it.
Yeah,
and so I agree. This is just so, like, everyone in their corners, and so everybody, and that's the thing about this. Like, Rapinoe's, everyone who likes Megan Rapinoe more. Everyone who likes Trump more. Like, fighting with Megan Rapinoe is a great thing for Donald Trump. He gets that. It's all politics. He didn't know who Megan Rapinoe was 2 days ago.
Yeah,
never even heard of her. He does not. I'm a big fan of the women's soccer team. He never watched a women's. Come on, right? Okay, he's not watching the games, which is fine. He's got other things to do, but. It's like, this is all just like, I'm just going to virtue signal. I'm not meeting with that girl, and I'm not meeting with that guy. And
well,
that's why,
Dan, I actually thought that Trump saying, like, hey, I'm a fan of the U.S. women's soccer team. I do think he may have watched a couple of their games, because I do think he's a big sports fan, and he likes winners in the same way that he likes the Patriots. The women's soccer team
that's
wins.
True, yeah.
So he may have tried to, you know, watch a couple of games and been, like, a fan of the fact that they were winning because of American exceptionalism or whatever argument you want. But him saying, hey, I invite them to the White House, even if they're already saying we don't want to come – is actually, I think, a good sign of growth to the extent there is some from Trump. Because typically in the past, like the Philadelphia Eagles said, hey, you know, like he just canceled the visit with the Eagles, right? Because
right,
he was
right.
Like, I feel like I'm going to get set up. They're angry. Some of the guys are not coming. Well, screw it. Well, they're not even going to come, right? I think inviting the U.S. women's soccer team, even though they may not agree with him, actually looks, as far as Trump goes, fairly magnanimous. Now, it's not magnanimous by the standards of, like, Abraham Lincoln, right? You know, with malice toward none, with justice for all. Like, I'm not saying he's extending a hand after the Civil War.
I agree with you. Yeah.
But for Trump.
It was. I like this. A sign of growth on Donald Trump. Yeah, I agree. Like, hey, you guys show up, come to the White House.
Yeah.
I would love for them to actually talk.
Yeah, I think it would be good. Now, let me ask you this.
Their opinions, but they might. And here's the thing about the women's soccer team. It's not – Megan Rapinoe was one player on the team. They have a prayer circle after the game.
Yeah.
They're all different races. They're all from all different parts of the country. It's actually a very diverse group.
And there may well be Trump voters on the team who feel absolutely no comfort in being able to say, hey, I voted for Donald Trump. But let me say this. The storyline. On Yahoo, and you write for Yahoo Sports, which is a massive – I mean, the number of people who still go to Yahoo.com is just off the charts massive. You see the numbers on the stories that you write, and you, like me, are in the business of talking – I talk about what people want to hear about. You write
right.
about what people want to hear about, and obviously we're talking about it too. Is there a mass – like, I just looked at your most recent article, and sometimes I'll just check – I don't read any comments. It's almost impossible these days, especially on the internet. But it seems like there's a big audience for this story. Have you found that to be so in terms of Rapinoe and Trump?
Of course, because you don't have to like women's soccer to be like, oh, this is – I mean, it's Trump. There's a lot of interest in Trump, pro and con. And then you have this argument. And I know Trump – and I'm not blaming him for this because it's just sort of what he does. I mean, it's kind of normalized, but it's still kind of remarkable that like a president of the United States is sitting there getting in a Twitter spat with an athlete from a United States.
I legitimately like, wonder how history covers this era because, you know, like will like a history book have Trump tweets directed to LeBron James or Megan Rapinoe? And I think also he accidentally, or whoever's running the account, accidentally tagged the wrong Megan Rapinoe. And these,
well,
I saw your boy
too.
Woj yeah. did this too, which is all that to me is one of the funniest things that happens in the world of Twitter is when somebody with a similar name gets tagged and like Woj is like, apologies for hitting the wrong guy. Like he's throwing out all sorts of different NBA free agent stories.
Yeah.
And I just love to think about how this random person, and the same thing happened with the other Megan Rapinoe, like suddenly poor person, if they have notifications turned on, you just get a billion, your phone literally goes on fire almost, right? Because you might have, you know, normally three people a week send you a message on Twitter and suddenly you got 4,000 in about 5 minutes.
There's also people who are like, I don't know, like, I'm going to mess up, but, like, your name's Jim Smith, right? But Jim Smith also is the manager of the Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. No, and you just get the...
And then all of a sudden, every night, it's like, Jim Smith, and Jim Smith, idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, you know, I'm not the damn manager. I don't even like the Phillies. I live in Phoenix.
Yeah. I just happened to sign up for Twitter and take the at Jim Smith account, you know, like, years and years ago, and now there's a famous person with my name. It's like, when you overlap, I remember when I was a kid, this is pretty funny, but when I was in school, there was a kid in my class and his name was Richard Simmons, right? And of all the names, like Michael Bolton thing in Office Space, of all the names that you could have, like, I remember he was in seventh grade. We were in seventh grade. In seventh grade, what do you want? Like, the least amount of attention you could possibly get, right? You don't want anybody noticing you. And, like, there's a school assembly, and, like, I think his mom was, like, checking him out or something, and the whole school is lined up, and they're like, Richard Simmons, could you please come to the – and everybody just erupts, and everybody's like, how did you end up named Richard Simmons? He's like, my parents were Canadian. They didn't know who Richard Simmons was, right? But just imagine how much different your life is if you happen to have the same – your seventh grader who has the same name as Richard Simmons. I mean, it's just a name to begin with. It's not that common. But you almost have to just totally change your name, right?
Right.
And
so this Megan Rapinoe Twitter account, like, changed her thing to, like, maybe Megan Rapinoe. She kind of embraced it.
Yeah,
it was like,
yes.
I might be her. Who knows?
Yeah. So
but the whole idea that the president of the United States is scrapping with an American athlete is still – you know, even in the age of Trump, where we've kind of, it's like, what the heck? Who cares what Megan Rapinoe says? You're the president.
All right. Goodness. So last question for you, and we're talking to Dan Wetzel. Go follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports national columnist. He's in Paris for this game. The big story here still, and you put this in your column, is that the U.S., I believe, is 0-2-1 against France, and France ran us 3-0 in January in the game that was played in France. This is while all of the attention may well be on Megan Rapinoe and Donald Trump, this is a game that the U.S. very easily could lose. I mean, this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight.
100%. I mean, it's in France. I mean, yeah. They have a incredible defense.
They're physical.
They have a 6'2" center D back who just can run. You'll watch the game tonight, Renard. She's incredible to watch. Incredible player. And U.S. did not get a shot on net in this game against Spain.
Which is unbelievable. Play. They scored two penalty kicks, Megan Rapinoe did, but they did not play very well against Spain.
No. So, and now France has not played well either in this thing. So, who knows, but this is a very hard game. It should be the World Cup final. These are the two best teams, but, you know, they do a ping pong ball draw. So, we're getting it, which is fine. We're getting the quarterfinals, and it's going to be a big night in Paris and the whole thing. But they could absolutely lose this game. And it's soccer. You know, games are decided by such a small margin. Who gets the first goal is such a big thing. And, yeah, this could be, you know, this is a serious challenge. I think both clubs feel like if we win this, England, Germany, there's some other good teams, but this is the World Cup final. So U.S. needs a big night. They need goal scoring. Their goaltender is a little shaky. It could all end tonight, but it'll be very, very interesting.
So what do you do? You've got this great Parisian, European, French vacation going on where you're just chilling. Yeah. If the U.S. women lose, do you still get to stay there, or do you have to come back?
Listen, Clay, I am working and covering, bringing to the American reader all the interesting things, like what did Donald Trump tweet today? I mean, this is hard investigating. My investigative reporting is just like, what's Trump doing?
So would you go cover like France playing, I don't know, Netherlands in the final?
No. Are you going to talk about France, Netherlands next week? The Netherlands is out. I'm out. U.S. only. I'm all American.
So you will fly back, or you'll just get to chill for another week and not even
Out. I'll fly back Saturday.
All right, so are you rooting to stay in France, or would you be fine just getting to come back to the States now? You feel like you've done all of France yet?
I'm fine. No, I it's tricky because my daughters are massive United States women's national team fans.
Yeah, right.
So I can't. They left, though, so I'm alone. I would be fine. I don't care, like most games. I mean, look, I either work 10 straight days or I don't.
Yeah.
So generally, we all go, I'll take not working 10 straight days, the next 10 straight days. But it is, it is France. It's not bad. I'm not paying for this. So it's, I don't know. I don't really care. Usually at this time of you've been here a while, that you're just sort of like, okay, I'm ready to go home. But I like the team. They're fun. They're a very interesting group, and it's an interesting story. So I don't mind covering them.
If you're still in France next week, we'll have you on again, and we'll break down what exactly is going on. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck surviving the heat. I think it's like 150 degrees in Paris
now. It's very hot, yeah. Bonjour, Clay.
Yeah, bonjour indeed. That's Dan Wetzel. We'll bring back – we got Chad Withrow coming back. This is the final hour of the week. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back, Young MC, bringing us back here in the Geico Outkick Studios. We're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Outkick is available in all areas. Thank you for listening. Poll question that is up right now, and I'm intrigued. It's been very hot. And if you want to be entertained, just dive into the mentions underneath this poll question today. 260 of you have sent responses, but nearly 20,000 of you have voted. And the question is, the U.S. women's soccer team used to be the most beloved team in the country, but since they got to France, they've had the 13 goals celebration controversy, and the Trump White House mess. Simple question, are you rooting for them to win the World Cup? Now, usually saying, are you rooting for a United States team to win anything, the vast majority of people are going to immediately come out and say yes. This is intriguing, I think, because of the negativity now surrounding the U.S. women. It's a good sign of how, if you speak politics, you may have people who like you more. You're probably also going to have a lot of people who like you less. 59% of people are rooting for the U.S. women to win the World Cup. But that means that 41% of you, at least in this poll with 20,000 votes, are not. I bet if I had done this poll in 2015, it would have been like 95% yes, 5% no. And the only 5% who were voting no would have been people gambling on the other side, not people actively rooting against the United States. We'll continue to break this down over the next 25 minutes of the show or so. But, Eddie Garcia, your final update of the week. Now, I don't want to put any pressure on you, Eddie.
Oh, good.
But you have had a couple of bomb jobs in the updates
wow.
this week. I think it's fair
bomb
to say.
Bomb jobs?
Bomb jobs.
Any little mistake. Okay.
All respect right. perfection.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. News from the NBA, where the LA Lakers have created a max contract slot of $32 million to potentially sign another big-name free agent. They unloaded the contracts of Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones to the Washington Wizards as part of the deal to land Anthony Davis from the New Orleans Pelicans. Also, Davis is reportedly agreeing to waive his $4 million trade bonus. And the LA Times is reporting that Warriors guard Klay Thompson will consider joining the Lakers and also listen to the Clippers as well if Golden State does not offer him a max contract. In baseball, the Cubs beat the Braves 9-7 in a battle of division leaders. In his Chicago debut, closer Craig Kimbrell recorded the save with a scoreless ninth inning. It was the Phillies walking off with a 6-3 win over the Mets. Gene Segura, three-run homer, wins it for Philadelphia as they sweep the four-game series from New York for the Mets. It's their 20th blown save of the season. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis in the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
All right. Good
stuck
little walk
the
off.
Landing.
Let's give me a golf clap yes. for Eddie finishing off the week in style there. No errors, no goofs. It was a little bit of a – I would say that there was a lot of wobbliness on the updates this week. A lot of wobbliness.
All right, I'll try to
be
better next week.
I don't know. We gotta be better next
week. I'll rest up this
week. I'll be in LA. I'll be in your time zone. So I mean, these kind of errors could be debilitating. All right. So we have got the U.S. women. We want to clear this up. Where is the game actually on today?
It is on Big Fox.
Big Fox yes. at 3 o'clock Eastern. Right?
3 Eastern.
All right. 3 Eastern. 12 o'clock Pacific. So again, if the U.S. wins this one, then they move into the final four, the semifinals, and the final game of the Women's World Cup is on a Sunday. I think it's on July 7th, if I'm not mistaken. That would be an absolutely massive audience, but I'm intrigued to see what the overall response is going to be from the U.S. women tonight on the field. It's tonight in France. It's this afternoon for us. And how they'll perform, because they've been under the microscope now ever since that Megan Rapinoe, I'm not going to the effing White House video went viral, and they had to give comments and they've had to talk about it a great deal. What is the actual response going to be? I'm intrigued to see how they're going to play when they actually come out and take the field. And again, France is the second best team, according to odds makers, in this entire tournament. Before the tournament started, the U.S. and France were around even. Each of them were like plus 300-ish to win this tournament, and they're meeting in the quarterfinals now. And so France has not played particularly well. The U.S. did not play very well at all against Spain. I think it's going to be a physical match. I think France is going to try to shove the U.S. around, and I think you probably watch for some yellow cards, maybe some red cards, if you're going to be watching this game this afternoon, which I will be doing. All right. Are we good on this segment now, Danny G?
Yeah, we are. And I just triple-checked, and this update right here says that it's going to be on Big Fox and FS1 in English and Telemundo. So, Fox, this is going to be a big day today.
All right, so doubling down, yeah. You can watch it on Fox or on FS1. When we come back, we'll talk with my guy Chad Withrow about this, also about our predictions as we head into the weekend for where the big NBA free agents are going to sign. I will tell you, we'll see what he thinks. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio. Final segment of the week. Montel Jordan bringing us back here in the Geico Outkick Studios. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000 Discover It miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. U.S. women playing against France. Chad Withrow joins us now at Withrow Zone. Withrow, my argument on the show earlier was that the U.S. women have become a little bit like the U.S. men's basketball team in what was once a universally beloved team. When, like 1992, when we had the Dream Team, everybody was rooting for them. Over the years, some people have started to not root as much because they've been dominant. And I think this U.S. women's team, maybe in 2015, 95% or more of the country was behind them. Right now, not as much because of the controversy. You buying or selling that idea?
I'm selling it. I think that people aren't as into them, Clay, because of everything that you just mentioned. But, I mean, is that really going to cause someone to cheer for France over the United States of America?
So let me tell you, my poll question, we got 20,000 votes, and I said simply, are you rooting for the U.S. women to win the World Cup? And 59% of them are saying yes. 41% of the voters are saying no.
Yeah, see, that's insane, because the same people voting, that 41% voting no, they are pissed off because someone is disrespecting the United States by protesting the national anthem and by saying what she did about the White House and use the expletive in there also. So their response to someone, they're so outraged that someone would disrespect the United States in their eyes that they are now going to root against the United States because of that one person. That seems like a pretty extreme response to that. Well, I hate what this one player has done and said, so now I'm completely rooting against the United States of America in an international competition. Look, I don't fully agree with Megan Rapinoe. If I'm ever invited to the White House for any reason under any president, I'm going.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Same here.
But because Megan Rapinoe said that, it's not going to cause me to not root for the United States and suddenly become a huge fan of France. I've never been to France. I'm sure it's lovely. I'd love to go to Paris sometime, but I sure as hell am not going to root for France over the United States of America. That is ridiculous. And whoever voted that way in your poll should be ashamed of themselves.
Chad Withrow coming off the top rope on the poll voters. All right, so when you mentioned like the U.S. women, it does seem like they have gone from maybe the most lovable team, right? If people out there are old enough to remember, I'm sure you do, when Brandi Chastain scored that goal and stripped off her shirt and like slid in the sports bra, it's one of the most iconic moments in American sports history, certainly in the last, I don't know, 25 years, very top of the list, way up there. Everybody loved them. Even in 2015, when the U.S. women were playing, I went to that game. I took my kids. It seemed like the whole country was behind the U.S. women. I don't get that same sense now. How much of that has to do with Megan Rapinoe in particular and just maybe the fact that the U.S. women have been so dominant that we tend to, much like with the 1992 American, you know, basketball team, we want to establish that we're the best, but then at some point it starts to feel like bullying. And I think when the U.S. women won 13-0 to many people and were celebrating the way they did, it moved from, hey, we're awesome, to, yeah, this kind of, it feels like bullying.
Yeah, I think, first off, the 99ers will always be number one in the hearts and minds of soccer fans in the U.S. So you're dead on right about that. The likability of this team, far less than the 1999 team. And I think part of that is the dominance. You know, they've kind of become the villain worldwide. And I think as you beat people that badly, then suddenly people may start to view you a little bit differently. The Megan Rapinoe thing, it obviously, and your poll question, by the way, shows that, obviously has a huge effect on people, on soccer fans, on sports fans, because of what she said. You know, I thought, Clay, the follow-up of what she said, and I don't know how much you've talked about this, but when she kind of clarified her statements, I almost had a bigger issue with that part of it than the initial statement where she sort of flew off the handle with the answer, because she said something along the lines of, I'm going to sit down and talk to all of my teammates about how we need to be in it together and supporting the right things, and we can't go and meet with someone who doesn't support what we're wanting to accomplish. And I thought, you know, that to me, that was, okay, you don't want to go to the White House, that's fine, but we're going to have a team meeting about why I feel like you shouldn't go and take a picture with the president. I thought was just a bridge too far for her to say. And that's the one to me, if I'm reading into something and thinking, boy, now I really don't like just this entire team. That's the takeaway that I would have from that, if you were going to go in that direction. But again, there's nothing that's going to cause me to root for another country over the U.S.
All right, last question for you, and I'm running through this quickly. I think Kemba Walker goes to Boston. I think Kawhi stays in Toronto. I think that the Lakers aren't able to get another max contract. I think they go with a lot of different free agents who can shoot. I think that Jimmy Butler ends up in Houston, and I believe that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to go to Brooklyn. Any of that surprise you?
No, not at all. And by the way, good pull on the Space Jam money for Anthony Davis. That was outstanding by you. But no, I think all that sounds very, very logical right now.
That's the favorites as we head into the Sunday edition of the NBA free agency starting. Not the kind of guy to brag or draw attention to himself, but I was 1,000,000,000% right about Anthony Davis being in Space Jam 2 and making the $4 million back through the movie as opposed to getting paid by the Lakers. Tune in on Monday. There's no telling how much more brilliance I'll drop on all of you. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage. Thanks for a fun week. I'll be in L.A. all next week having fun with you guys on the left coast. This has been Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.